Metta is loving kindness. How do you practice loving kindness? How do you bring metta into every moment? Do you notice when there's no metta flowing? Are you aware when your mind is caught up in wanting this, not wanting that? Thoughts of dislike, thoughts of infatuation with a person or a situation. Wanting someone to be different than they are. Do you notice those moments? Those are the moments when we should not pursue unwholesome thoughts. Because suffering begins with thinking. It doesn't begin with someone else. It always begins with our own conceiving of other beings or ourselves as something that we like or don't like, or varying degrees of like and dislike. Because then the danger is attachment, or the danger is rejection. Either form of attachment is not understanding what we truly are. So there isn't the cultivation of metta. Metta arises when we cultivate. So we think of this practice as every day, every night practice. When we're cooking, putting on our shoes, driving a car, watching the builders, washing the face, falling asleep, waking up in the morning, rushing here and there. Is there a seam of metta? Is there a seamlessness of metta? We can take it both ways. We're either stitching it, cultivating, developing it, or we're pulling away the obstacles to metta. Let's examine. What is the obstacle to metta? Is it created by the mind? Yes. Can we somehow evacuate it, ventilate it, remove it, let it go, overcome it? It's not real. Why would we cultivate an obstacle? And see, if we examine, we can see how the thinking mind can easily begin to spin a whole story about what we like, what's happening, what we wish for, what we suffer from. Then we create ourselves and each other in ways that are helpful or not. So the cultivation of metta is really a constant work. It's not just 10 minutes at the end of a sitting, or 5 minutes when you prepare to go to sleep at night and you think, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. Cultivating a mind of loving kindness, of compassion, of rejoicing, spreading joy, or being at peace with all conditions. These sublime abidings are all day, every day practice, not just special times. That's what cultivation means. Asevitaya, that is the cultivation of metta. The second part of this cultivation is bhavitaya. Bhavitaya means we develop it. So if we're at a certain level of practicing metta, we want to keep that going. 5 minutes, and then one step forward, two steps back. And the next minute, we're expressing our anger or suppressing our anger. Either way, not helpful. Whether you push the knife in or you throw it, not good, not helpful. That's war. That's conflict. That's suffering. We think the war is somewhere else, but the war is within us. Why? Not deep enough cultivation. Just superficial. Here in a monastery, it's such a wonderful opportunity for us to cultivate this sense of love and compassion for each other. If we hold any grudges or resentments to each other, that's the death of metta. That's like the grass that's growing brown because there's a drought. It's like the leaves falling off the trees. When there's a drought, there's death. When there's cultivation, we bring metta to life. We plant it, we water it, we nurture it. Let us not be in the winter of our discontent. So yeah, we can't always be perfect, but at least the heart brings its own perfection through for a moment, for a few moments, for longer and longer moments. Because what is carried within is already whole. It's already beyond compare. We carry that. That flame is within us. We just need to embody it more and more. Metta is our means to that heart-opening liberation. It's not in someone else. It's not somewhere else. It's not in India or Mount Kailash or a special pilgrimage place where we long to go. It's right here and now, in our 2 feet, with our own body-mind to enact, to embody, to cultivate and develop this quality. Bahuli Kataya is consistent, constant practice, a lot. How many moments in an hour do we have that kind of boundless, unbounded sense of love and appreciation for our life and for each other, for the world, no matter what it is? It's just a ground for beings to practice and to cultivate good. But of course, everywhere you look, this is not going on. There's the opportunity to cultivate. But also there is so much compassion in this world. For all the strife, for all the murder, For all the horror that we hear about or that we experience, there is also so much goodness. So many beings are struggling to help others, to bring forth awareness, blessing, whatever you call it. We can go down to the poorest part of the city. There are people struggling there. But there are also many people offering them shelter, food, cooking for them, ministering to their suffering. Everywhere you go, there are mothers, there are fathers ministering to their children. Everywhere you go, there are hospitals and first aid responders ministering to those in trouble. Bahuli kataya. Bahula means many times of this practice. When metta is much practiced, then metta is present. It is our potential too. When we practice a lot, when we open to the possibility of bringing metta into the heart at a difficult time, it becomes our vehicle. This is called jnani kataya. We make metta our vehicle. This metta vehicle is bigger than that excavator sitting out there in the yard, ready to do the construction. Metta is available to us here and now. It is available to all beings everywhere. And when much practiced, it's our vehicle. Our vehicle for what? Our vehicle for Nibbana, actually. Without metta, we are lost. This quality of loving kindness exists in every skillful state of mind. We need not doubt that. If there is a skillful mind state, it's riding on the wheels of metta, on the magic carpet of metta. Love and compassion, for sure. So that vehicle, when it's used properly, it's a foundation. Foundation is like what they're building out there. Right here in our monastery, it'll be the strength of a building, the platform for it, from which this structure can rise up. But within us, there's also this foundation for loving kindness, because we see, we realize when we need that forgiveness, forbearance, with conditions, with situations. It's as if we're building within us a tower, a ladder, an ascent to the highest that we can be as human beings. And metta is the foundation. We are developing it, we're practicing it, we're raising it up from the ground of our being. So it's wonderful for us to watch this process. Look how carefully even the owner of this company that's building, working with his employees, what a kind application of effort, what humility. He owns the company, and still he gets in there, rolls up his sleeves, puts on his gloves, and does the hard work. That's anuttitaya. Anuttitaya is metta when it's well established. When we use our vehicle properly, it's well oiled, and we're fueling it. We're propelling it forward. We are raising ourselves up on that foundation of Dhamma practice through the special powers of metta, of loving kindness, well established in us. It's a strength. Even if others are nasty, we don't have to resort to those kind of mind states. We can humbly receive and offer forgiveness, compassion for the unwholesome that may cross our path or come our way. Even harsh words, even when we experience abuse. If other people throw daggers, our job is to receive them with this quality of open-hearted compassion, not with hatred, not in an ill-tempered way, because that's just creating more ill will, hostility, and suffering. It's violent. It's harmful. It's not like we have the right. There is no rightness to retaliate at all. People make a big deal about their rights. But it's very difficult to practice in the face of cruelty or abuse, to practice kindness and forgiveness, at least a stillness or a receptivity, very difficult. But when metta is a tower, when metta is deeply established, then the heart will not resort to hatred. It will not resort to harmful thoughts. It will be able to remain peaceful, tolerant, forgiving. Then there is that possibility. We need to recognize that possibility. Very often, we end up with something less than that. So we practice. We practice when conditions are good. And if someone doesn't treat us well, we try to remember it's possible to forgive. And at least not to lose our sense of civility, humility, and kindness to them. That becomes unbearable to the hostile being, to the attacker. When someone attacks and the person being attacked is kind in return, they can't bear it. They would run away or stop or bow to that because of shame. Bodhicitta is consolidation of metta, of loving kindness. When we consolidate this loving feeling, regardless of what conditions we are faced with, we strengthen that quality of loving kindness in us, and we can bring it back, we can bring it forward more and more. We can cultivate through that loving kindness an inner beauty, an inner power. It's truly very powerful. and it's all encompassing. It's very difficult for a loving mind to be vanquished by anyone. It just is. If we recognize that this is paricittaya, it's a very superior mind state which is invincible, impenetrable by forces of hate or negativity. It's not vulnerable to attack because it is thoroughly known and established. We want to bring that forth in ourselves for our own betterment and for the benefit of everyone. This is a benevolent state. It's a blessed state. But just look at the world. People think that the way through obstacles, the way through enemies or hatred or war is to fight and kill and destroy. But what is the result of that? Terrible suffering. No end to the wars. How many wars are there in the world right now? Has there ever been a time in the human realm when there were no wars or no fighting? We have a very beautiful sign in the garden. It says, hatred is never overcome by hatred, but by love alone. Those are the words of the Buddha that we find in the Dhammapada. And then there is Susamaradaya. When metta is properly undertaken, under the sky of this earth, there would not be a place where our feet would fall and not walk in grace. That is the power of metta, of loving kindness. And then there are these benefits. When there is beautiful cultivation, development, practice, establishment of the foundation, arising into strength because of it, when consolidated, it brings us the greatest happiness. We sleep well, we wake up refreshed. We have no bad dreams. We are dear to humans and to non-humans. The deities protect us. No fire or poison or weapon can harm us. The mind becomes easily concentrated, and our complexion will exude a joyous well-being. And we will die unconfused, potentially liberated. And even if we don't realize that freedom, total freedom and liberation of heart, we would not have to come back to a suffering world. So these are the 11 advantages of metta. But metta is its own reward. We need not pine for advantages to metta. We just receive the gift of that loving kindness alone, sufficient unto itself. The Buddha called this quality of metta or loving kindness, the deliverance of the heart through universal love. Unconditional love is for us freedom, freedom from suffering. And it is already within us. We just have to come to know that. If we look for this universal love outside of ourselves, we are not likely to find it.